Let's do want to look at Psalm 11. This has been our Wednesday night routine in prayer. We're not going to take a lot of time with this tonight because we do want to give some reports from the elders and the deacons. But just a couple of things. All of God's Word is relevant. But I think this particularly so in a meeting like this tonight. So let me just read. To the choir master of David, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. We don't know the context of this psalm, and it's probably good that we don't, because what David relates to us is a situation that we could, all of us perhaps, be in. We will be in a situation like this, whether it's a personal trial, whether it's a family trial, it could be a marital trial, church trial, national trial, but that's the context. And there's a question in this first part that actually has an answer. And the question is, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's an answer to that question. It would seem that what is happening is that David actually begins in the right place. He says, in the Lord I take refuge. But then there are obviously some around him, probably friends, maybe even fellow believers, who question what's going on. So that's the sense of it. Because he's referring to something that someone has said to him. How can you say to my soul, right? And so the rest of verse 1 and 2 and 3, I think, is a quotation. It's what somebody else who is evidently close to David is telling him. And basically he's saying, it's real bad and I'm out of here. And you need to be out of here, David. You need to get away from all of the trial and all the trouble and everything that's come upon you. You just need to check out, okay? Flee like a bird to your mountain. And then the question then, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Okay, it's like you can imagine the situation, and you will probably be in this situation at some time in your life, to throw up your hands and to say, you know, what can we do? What can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed? But the answer is that the foundations are not destroyed. Because the foundation of our lives is Yahweh. It's the Lord. It's where David started, and he comes back to it in his answer. What does he say? Very quickly, he says four things. One is that the Lord is on his throne. He's in his holy temple, and his throne is in heaven. He is sovereign. He is transcendent. He is ruling. He is omnipotent. And he is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And not only that, he is actually very involved in what's going on in the world. His eyes see. His eyelids test. I think it's just a kind of an intensifier there from eye to eyelids, but it's like the Lord is intimately acquainted. The theologians call this his immanence. He's right on in everything that happens in the world. He's not a distant, transcendent deity, right? He's absolutely involved. How is he involved? Well, he tests the righteous. Think about that. The Lord tests the righteous. How does he do that? Well, I think just exactly the things that are going on in these first few verses that have been quoted. The wicked bending their bow and the foundations seeming to be destroyed. Everything upside down, topsy-turvy, tribulation, trial, difficulty. The Lord purposefully using those things to test us, to determine where we are. Every trial has a purpose. Every downside, every tribulation that you might experience, that I might experience in my life, is absolutely purposeful in the Lord. And what is the purpose? It is to make his people holy. It's to make them holy. That's his purpose in the world. It's not to make us carefree, not even to make us happy, though holy people are the happiest people in the world. But his purpose is to make us holy. And so he tests the righteous. He brings these things in purposefully. It's not an accident. Not an accident. Any of these things where we look around, we see, oh, what's going on? He tests the righteous. And then he judges the wicked. Nobody gets away. There's no scheming out or sliding away from the Lord. His eyelids see. He knows it, and he's doing something about it. Romans 1 doesn't say to us that on the day of judgment the Lord judges. It says his judgment is ongoing, and it's ongoing. And often it's in an ongoing way that he takes his hands away and says, I'll let you have what you want. And it's a judgment on the wicked. And ultimately, absolute judgment upon them. And so the Lord is on his throne, absolutely in charge, in control, purposefully in the lives of his people and in the whole world. But particularly that verse 5 jumps out. The Lord tests the righteous. His purpose in it. And then we get an answer to what can the righteous do in verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He is always right, and he's always doing right things, righteous. And he loves righteous deeds. Now, we could say that's his doing, but I don't think it is. I think it is his looking, his testing, his working in his people so that they will do righteous deeds. So what's the answer? What if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. It's very simple, isn't it, the Christian life. No matter what is going on anywhere, we have a God who is, he's Yahweh, so that he's absolutely committed covenantally to his people. Will never leave, never forsake, always involved, always purposefully involved in their lives to make them holy. And so our response to this great lover of our souls is to love him and to honor him, to trust him and obey him. He loves righteous deeds. He loves seeing his people obeying him. He loves seeing them doing like him. Righteously, you see. And then the upright shall behold his face. What's that? That's communion. That's knowing him. That's that intimate. Whenever the Bible speaks about the Lord's face, it's his coming close to his people. His, what we might say, his felt presence. Right? We know he's there. We know he's here. We trust his word. But there are times when he comes incredibly close to his people. And there's a kind of thickness, we might say, of his presence. The upright shall behold his face. They will have communion with him. They will know him. They will love him, you see. So when the foundations are destroyed, and that may happen tomorrow, or the next day, or next year, what can the righteous do? Well, the righteous can do what the righteous always should do. Trust the Lord and obey him. Trust and obey. And I think there's a hymn that goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.